is John. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing that was made was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Thanks be to God. I'd like to open with a prayer by John Philip Newell. In the temple of my inner being, in the temple of my body, in the temple of earth, sea, and sky, in the great temple of the universe, I look for the light that was in the beginning, the mighty fire that blazes still in the heart of life, glowing in the whiteness of the moon, glistening in night stars, hidden in the black earth, concealed in the unknown depth of my soul. In both the light and the shadow of my being, let me glimpse the glow of the eternal. Amen. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Is this mic driving you nuts? Do you want me to swap? Or shall I just try and turn it away? I don't know why it's doing that. If it keeps buzzing, I'll swap over. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Friends, we are beings of the shadows. We exist in a world that is both light and dark. We live in the shadowlands. And because of this, we do not understand our true nature. It is beyond our comprehension, just like the kids cannot possibly remember where they were before they were born. The light shines in us, but the darkness of our matter comprehendeth it not. Our divinity is confusing to us. It's elusive. The moment we finally get our meditation and our prayer to work, something happens, our monkey mind jumps in, and it's gone. Have you ever had that experience where you completely fall off your sacred routine? The prayer that's been bringing you peace for years suddenly runs out. I had that this Lent. I preach for people in an end-of-life care facility, and I was talking to them about how I sing the Psalms every day, and I made the promise to them that I would chant the Psalms every day, and as soon as I made it a staple, I didn't want to do it anymore, and the joy and the peace that the Psalms were bringing me evaporated, and it became a duty, and I even stopped doing it before the end of Lent because there was no point. It is so hard for us to hold, to be a vessel that the light is poured into. The moment we think we've arrived, we lose our way and need to start over again. You know, there never used to be any mirrors. Modern mirrors were invented in 1835. Now, as long ago as 6,000 years ago, they polished stone to get their reflection. But as we know from Corinthians, Paul says, I understand now as if looking into a dim mirror, but later I will see myself. We are not able to, even with polished mirrors, we're not able to see our own light. All we see is our own reflection. We can't possibly see the light and love that we carry around in our eyes. I'm going to ask you the same question I asked the kids, but I'm going to sing it this time. Why have you come to earth? Do you remember? Why have you taken birth? Why have you come to love, serve, and remember? To love, serve, and remember. These are the words of Yogananda, and the song is John Austin. Why have we come to earth? And today, I think it's so true. We are here to love, serve, and remember. And today, when we talk about the 12 holy nights, I want to focus on that remembering. Remembering, bringing back into wholeness. The 12 days of Christmas mark the time span between the birth of Jesus and the arrival of the wise ones, the wise men. It is a time in between. These are holidays, holy days in the true sense. And these days are perfect for remembering, for bringing us into our sacred alignment. Here's a reading by John O'Donohue, which, oh, that's a nice picture. Maybe might come up on the screen. Huh? Christmas reminds us to glory in the simplicity and wonder of one day. It unveils the extraordinary that our hurried lives conceal and neglect. We have been given such immense possibilities. We desperately need to make clearances in our entangled lives to let our souls breathe. Let me read that again. We desperately need to make clearances in our entangled lives in order to let our souls breathe. We must take care of ourselves and especially of our suffering brothers and sisters. So those words by the Irish late poet and former priest John O'Donohue are referring to the fact that Christmas is outside of time. It's at the very end of our year, and then there's all these days until New Year. Or if you follow the Christian tradition, Epiphany. There's a Celtic word that we have for it back in Scotland. Well, two words, three. Between and betwixt. Neither this nor that. It's the misty place that you guys in Suquamish know quite well. It's the God that was here before in the Aboriginal people and is here now in your heart. It is yes and. It is this and that. It is a truth that is bigger than duality. It's a glimmering liminal time. The between and the betwixt. The most famous time for that is Halloween, which is the day of the dead and then the resurrection of the souls. It's the time in which the dead are closest in the Celtic pagan year. These between and betwixt times, like the 12 days of Christmas, are a transcendent moment. A good time for reflection, deepening mindfulness and prayer. We say that God is closer in the between and the betwixt. And that the energy held in our form somehow shimmers and becomes a little bit less fixed. I borrowed the title from today from, I find this word really difficult to say, Anthroposophy. Anthroposophy. You know Rudolf Steiner's theology? One of the things I do is I have a group of families that I teach their children about the sacred, and they all go to the local Steiner school, the Waldorf school. And I noticed that the parents were all doing this practice between Christmas and Epiphany called the 12 Holy Nights. I'd never heard of this. And you have to say that in my soul, I needed something. In the Christianity that I was given, there was nothing between midnight on Christmas Eve and Epiphany. I need something to deepen that mystery. So I looked up Claudia McLaren, and she's an anthroposophist. mystic and a teacher, and she explains the Holy Nights this way. In the darkness of winter's night, when the great breath of the Earth Mother finds its greatest point of inhalation, human beings are afforded the grace to touch into both magic and miracle. In the pause between her mighty in-breath and out-breath, there is a still point of rest. And this still point has long been known as the Holy Nights. In these blessed nights, the angels circle the globe as if in a great cosmic dance. And the angels long to speak to the listening human hearts. Throughout the ages, the listening ones on earth have heard the angelic choir, and they have received the messages of peace and love. In other words, in Simon words, it is an excellent time to recalibrate and reset our course, to check if we are walking our talk. Now, I'm in no way an expert on the theology of Rudolf Steiner. I didn't learn it in seminary, and I've not even been to a Christian community church. But there's something in those 12 holy nights that I'm trying out this year. And it's also a way of opting out of the commercial hellhole that is Christmas sales and the busyness. I want something to help, and a quickening in my veins so that I can embody the arrival of the Christ child. And today, we're going to talk a little bit about how to do that. So the families that I support, they have this simple exercise that they're doing where starting on Boxing Day, the 26th, they look at January and January. They look back on January from last year, and they look forward to January that's coming. They reflect on what has happened over the last 11 months, almost 12 months, and they look at what is emerging before them. And they do it in the dark, and they do it by candlelight. The second night of Christmas, they look at February, the February that has been, reflect on that. Do you remember that enormous snowstorm when everything became still? They'll look back. I even got my calendar out. I look every night. I look at my calendar to see what I was doing. And then I look at my calendar, which is mostly blank, and imagine what I'm going to be doing. It's a wonderful tool, a very simple way of recalibrating and looking, being informed by the past, but stepping more consciously into the future. You're welcome to try that, even though we're quite a few nights in. I need something. I need holy nights between Christmas Eve and Epiphany, because there's a gap. On one hand, I understand silent night. And from my childhood, the 11 o'clock service on Christmas Eve in the cold cathedral. But on the other side over here are the people who embody the Christ, the words of the Magnificat that we heard in that song, that embodiment of the change that Christ brings. I need somewhere to integrate a cross. Let me explain this a little bit better. I need to bridge between the sleeping newborn Christ and that quickening of spirit that is revealed in all those who carry the Christ light. You know these people when you meet them because they make you cry. Have you ever had that? Mm-hmm. When you're in the presence of a deeply loving person, it just makes you want to weep. The people whose love is so beautiful and simple and healing. You feel it as soon as you're in their presence. How do we go from a baby laid in a manger to a saint? From the star above the manger to the rabble-rouser of those who hold Christ in their hearts and mind. And more to the point, how do I get in on this? How do I become part of this sacred gift? If Rudolf Steiner was right, these days, the angels are bringing that Christ consciousness to us. How do I get that into my bones? My hunch is that we need to treat it as a mystery. And we have to hold it with great care. And don't explain it away with our clever thinking or our impatience. Instead, hold the unknowing in prayer. Allow the mystery to rest inside you. I believe that we are not capable of understanding mystery, not with our heads. On the drive here, I was listening to Richard Rohr talk about St. Francis. And he specifically, it was great, I was driving around and my sermon was playing through the stereo. And he specifically said that St. Francis teaches about that you need to follow the mystery and not the dogma. But he says that mystery has been made this elusive thing when actually all it is our own embodied experience. It's our own sense of what love is. That's what the mystery is. Viktor Frankl, who survived the Nazi concentration camps, says this. Between stimulus and response, there is a space. Between stimulus and response is a space. And in that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. I used to do voluntary work with the Quakers in prison, and they would talk about that pause between the in-breath and the out-breath. They would teach people who would react and fly off the handle to breathe and pause and be still. And if it works in prisons with people with anger management issues, it's going to work for us in prayer and peace. The whole point of the holy days is to be still and to create a place of peace for the mystery to be felt inside us. Jan Richardson says it this way, and this is a blessing of hope. So may we know the hope that is not just for someday, but for this day, here, now, in this moment that opens to us. Hope not made of wishes, but of substance. Hope made of sinew and bone and muscle. Hope that has breath and a beating heart. Hope that will not keep quiet and be polite. Hope that knows how to holler when it's called for. Hope that knows how to sing when there seems little cause. Hope that raises us from the dead. Not someday, but this day, every day, again and again and again. So this is my homework for you, should you wish to accept it. I won't be back for a while, so I won't know. Light a candle, use these holy nights, and begin the task of putting that hope into your bones. Here's a clue. It starts with your breath, and it starts with making your thoughts much more simple. Perhaps reflect on who you are and all that has brought you to this point. Breathe in gratitude. And then, once the holy days are over and the light returns and we return to our busyness, take action to steer our life back on course. Make space for the mystery inside you. After all, it's Hanukkah as well as the 12 nights of Christmas. And Hanukkah is a time to remember the miracle of God's companioning presence. Thank you. I'd like to sing about this with you. It's probably one that's